CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News. He writes a column to comment on migration, the great migration underway worldwide, both hemispheres, Eastern and Western Hemisphere. Right now, the story in Europe is the migrants expected from Afghanistan in the evacuation, or migrants already in Turkey. 500,000, we're told, from Afghanistan in place looking to get into the EU. Or Afghanistan refugees in India in place now with nowhere particular to go except for the European Union. All of that is one version of migration, the great migration. The other version we've had in America for some years along the Mexican border. Most recently, strong remarks by the governor of Texas, Mr. Abbott, and the governor of Florida, Mr. DeSantis, have tried to put one story, the migration, the great migration, the yearning of people to get to America, or the yearning of people to get to Germany and the EU, those are the mirrors, put that together with the pandemic, the virus. Harry, good evening to you. Your most recent column rejects the reasoning of Mr. DeSantis and Mr. Abbott. How so? And the measure of their politics, why is it that they're directing their force of energy, all the energy they have, against people whom we, Harry, they qualify as helpless and ambitious. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So both Florida and Texas have governors who resisted basic health measures in what I think is a very unconservative way. Having pushed back against overreach before, with masks, for instance, sometimes admirably and calmly, they're now facing really serious outbreaks that are mostly affecting the unvaccinated states where a lot of people are unvaccinated for political or ideological reasons. That's an awkward development for both of them. It comes just a couple months after places like the National Review were saying DeSantis was owed a big apology. And there was some truth to that, but suddenly there's an outbreak there. He's mocking masks. He's saying cruise ships, which are a big industry in southern Florida, are going to be fined if they insist on having any sort of vaccine confirmation for people who are on them. The virus is spreading wildly, and so Florida, which of course is not on the southern land border, needs some excuse or alibi. And the oldest excuse or alibi of them all is the immigrants are bringing this with them, and they're bringing disease. Now, John, I just point out that if there were any numbers at all to back this up from any of the local border officials at any of these crossings saying we are seeing really large numbers of people who have the Delta variant or are just testing positive for the virus, we'd be hearing all about that. We're not, because there are no such numbers. So this is a straight political dodge from two guys who are eyeing 2024 presidential runs. And in DeSantis' place has a tough reelection coming up next year, sagging poll numbers, desperately trying to pass the buck and doing it with immigrants in a way that I think echoes many of the darker and uglier moments in American history. And I'm just morally saddened by it. I'm hopeful that there are Republicans who are otherwise maybe concerned about what's happening at the border who can know better and make this distinction. And as I said, there's simply no numbers so far to back up their sweeping assertions about how this is the problem and this is why the numbers are going up, when that simply does not appear to be the case from everything we know up to date.
The history of this you touch upon in your column very quickly, but very accurately. The Irish were condemned when their migration. The Jews were condemned in their migration. The Chinese were condemned. Every major wave of migration from Europe and Asia has been condemned by associating them with a disease of the moment. Cholera, for example. Tuberculosis and the bubonic plague are three examples. So it's almost like a rite of passage that when you come to America, you will be accused of, in some fashion, being non-hygienic by a politician. It's routine. The politicians gain from it immediately, but then a generation passes and their condemnation becomes What is it, Harry? We're trying to be diplomatic here. Their condemnation becomes ignorant.
There's the idea that these immigrants are themselves ignorant and filthy. The people who are saying it are either ignorant or something worse.
Yeah.
What happens is people come here who are poor and in desperate straits, and they often live with more people inside a household once they come into this country. And consequently, sometimes diseases spread. But so far, as with most of the examples you've cited, there are just no numbers to back up the idea that this group that's getting fixated on is in fact spreading this disease. And again, you can have other criticisms of our immigration policy. You can think we need tighter border controls without needing to play into that. It seems very unfortunate to me, and particularly without any numbers or facts to back it up. John, I just add that in 2014 with Ebola, and then 2018 with a previous migrant caravan, we very notably saw fears that these groups were going to spread disease that dissipated come November. The extent to which these were weaponized fears aimed at riling up voters before an election cycle that just disappeared once that election cycle finished is remarkable. It's happening a little earlier this time. I don't think that's the politics are the only motive, but I do think that there's a sort of crude populism here that is just ahead of both decency and the facts. And there are known and knowable facts. If there was a real argument here, believe me, we'd be hearing all about it. I would take that seriously. But this is just getting put out in a vacuum. Like, it must be true. How is it that you need a vaccine passport to go to a restaurant in New York, but you don't need one to cross the border? Case closed. But if you look at the numbers as to how this disease is actually spreading, there's just no correspondence anyone has been able to point to between the people who are arriving and the spread of the virus here.
The young woman who won the gold medal in gymnastics from Minnesota, and we're told that in her family she derives from origins of the Hmong tribe, H-M-O-N-G, that was allied with the U.S. during the Vietnam War, and some of them were offered evacuation right at the close when a lot of people fled Vietnam. And I don't know the story in depth, but my first impression was, you should be careful who you evacuate, because they wind up with gold medals 4 decades later. And I'm imagining we'll see the same thing from one of the young Afghan families that we bring into America. That would be a celebration of the migrants, Harry.
I really hope that that's so. And I hope that there's a core within the Republican Party that's open to that. I mean, I'm old enough that I remember Chris Christie when he was running for president. In 2015, when America went from more or less ignoring Europe's Syrian refugee crisis to fixated on it after a really potent image of a 5-year-old boy washed up on the shores appeared. There was no blood there. It was something you could put in the papers. And after that happened, Christie said, I don't want any 5-year-olds coming here because some of them might be terrorists. And that's the sort of fear-based appeal. Right. I really hope we can get past and treat people decently, who in many cases are in the trouble they're in because of our wars and our policies. And again, this is not open up all the borders. It's just treat desperate people who are risking their lives to come here with a measure of human decency. Individually, and then how you talk about them as a group.
Harry Siegel, the New York Daily News. The name of the gold medal winner, Sunisa Lee. Her family was indeed evacuated from Vietnam, Laos, and parts of China during the Vietnam War. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.